Well, good morning, everyone. Now, we say this every week, or we say it often, but it is really so good to gather and to worship with you all. So thank you for being here, and thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. So as we get started, I'm wondering if there's anyone who has a prophetic word or a word of encouragement for the church that you might like to speak out and share with us. So we just acknowledge that as we hear stories, as we hear testimony, as we hear God's faithfulness, our faithfulness grows as a result of that. So we encourage you, we make space for that. As well, today we are going to be speaking on the fruit of faithfulness. So if anyone here has a story of God's faithfulness in their own life, I also welcome you to come up and share that with us today. And as we're making space for that, I want to let you know that our Sunday school teacher for this morning actually had to cancel. And so, kids, we are going to invite you to stay in the service today. However, there are some stuff downstairs, some coloring sheets and whatnot. So feel free to head down there as well. We've got some coloring at the back there. If you want to grab a clipboard and some markers, you can go ahead and do so. And so, again, church, if anyone has a word or a story of God's faithfulness, I would invite you to come up and share that. Shelly, come on up. You can use this mic here, Shelly. Thanks.
Well, I actually have to bring it down.
There you go.
That doesn't happen very often. I am so blessed. Words of God's faithfulness. God is faithful all the time. And when I walked through these doors this morning, something like God's presence is just, I know I say this so much, but I really feel God's presence when I walk through those doors. I mean, I walked in here this morning with a very heavy heart. I've had a rough week, and I really struggled with whether I should come today or just watch online. And I really find that whenever I have that struggle, should I come or shouldn't I, and I push through, and I come, God meets me here. It's not that God wouldn't have been there with me at home on the video, but I feel like when we walk into this church, it's like coming home to your family. It's like coming home to your father's house. You're welcomed in by your brothers and your sisters, and just, like I say, I walked in here heavy burdened, and I just, before the service even started, like just in that in-between time, if just a little note, if you arrive like at 11 o'clock, you're really missing out. Because We got the overflow from the first service of the Holy Spirit. Like, I think it's awesome that we have two services now, because we're getting a double dose. When we come to the second service, I feel like I'm getting a double dose of, because we've got the Holy Spirit's been working in the first service, and he just keeps building in the second service. And God is, he's so faithful. Especially if we can push through in those times when we're not so sure what to do, just push through, just take that step. And when you take that step, God takes three to move with you and to fill you up with what you need. So I'm so glad to be a part of this congregation, and I am so glad to have so many spirit-filled family members that I see every Sunday. And when you come around 10:30, you get to see the ones that come to the morning or early service as well, and you get double dose. So yeah, just yeah.
God is faithful. God is faithful. That is right. Thank you, Shelley. Now, I had a note come through from somebody else between services about God's faithfulness. I'm going to read it out. And again, if you have a story or a word that you want to share, I invite you, we'll still have, there's still space to come up. Still space, still opportunity. So this is from someone else who isn't here for the service now. I recently read Joshua and how he and his mighty men walked around the walls of Jericho at the command of God until the walls of the city fell. As I read, a scripture jumped out to me. In Joshua 6, verse 2, God told Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." God spoke this promise in past tense, as if it has already been delivered, and the victory had already been won, because from God's perspective, it had already happened. God calls things that are not as though they were. Perhaps God's promise to you has not yet happened in the natural, but if it has been promised, it has been guaranteed. Isn't that true? Isn't that what Joel said last week too? It's as if it's already been done. God's promises cannot be broken. And if they cannot be broken, they have already manifested in the immaterial world before they become material. For God, they are already done. And when God speaks, it will come to pass for you. We are not paupers. We are not forgotten children who have to feel like we have to beg for crumbs from the master's table. You and I are beloved children of the Father, and all that is God's has been given to us. So, church, if the Holy Spirit has spoken a promise over you, a new job, friendship, relationship, house, healing, a breakthrough from an addiction, or anything else, you don't have to keep asking what he's promised. Instead, thank him for the time when that which is in the supernatural will manifest in the natural. Thank him for the gift that you will receive, and claim the promises that are in the word today, and thank him for what he will do. And if he has made a specific promise to you, thank him for answering it and the gift that it will be yours. Isn't that good? Yeah, we get to call on and thank God for his promises, the things that he's already spoken to us before they have come to pass. If anyone else has a word, yeah, Nathan, come on up.
Daniel. Yeah, I shared a bit in the first service, but yeah, God's faithfulness, and it's so great to hear other people's stories of what God's doing, because it reminds me to have faith. And even though I've been a Christian my whole life, but it's easy to forget. It's easy to, like the Israelites, right? God brought them through the Red Sea, and then they're like, Where's God, you know? So, yeah. Like 2 days later. So, yeah. But yeah, just trying to see God's faithfulness in my life. I was about a year ago kind of struggling with work, just like I'd been at the same company for a while. Great company and good job, but wasn't like clicking with my team the best. I was kind of thinking like, what's next? And feeling really overwhelmed by that. And not even having the energy to like even look for jobs or other opportunities kind of thing, or know like what even should I do, for what positions should I look for. So my wife Matab and I, we're like, okay, we should pray about this, and we tried to set aside some time, and we went to a coffee shop, but like I still wasn't even in the mood. I was kind of like, didn't really want to do research or anything. And but so we ended up just going to our local mall. They had a food court, and right as we sat down, like no hours of like Holy Spirit intervention, no like fire coming down or anything, but we just sat down at this food court, and my brother sends me a message, ding, on my phone, and he just randomly sent me a job posting and for communications, which I did marketing and communication stuff. So, and it was actually at the school that I went to growing up, so it was just like, oh, so random. Like, my brother hadn't been sending me stuff before like that. And then, so I went, first interview, super smooth. Second interview, really easy. I already knew some of the people. And then I started the job in this past June. And it's been a really great change. and really positive work environment that I think I needed to grow more. So,
yeah. That's awesome.
So just praising God for that.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Nathan. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. It's so cool. I love how you phrase that too, of like, you hadn't prayed for it yet, but God had the answer already. He already knew what was to come. He already had the solution in mind. So thanks, Nathan. Thanks for sharing that one. So today we are going to be continuing in on our series in the book of Galatians, where we are currently in chapter 5, looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're going to be looking at part 2 of the fruit of faithfulness. So for those of you who are new, I'm going to bring you up to speed just a little bit, just to provide a quick recap here. Galatians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to the churches in Galatia to confront some false teaching that had begun to infiltrate the churches there. The Galatian believers had begun to be led astray by legalism and the belief that they needed to follow the law in order to be justified. But Paul here is writing to them to remind them that salvation is not earned by human effort. It is a gift instead received by faith. He's calling the believers back into the freedom found in Christ and the importance of walking in the fullness of God's Spirit rather than becoming enslaved to the law and religious routines and practices. And it's in this very context here that Paul contrasts the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. Qualities, again, that are not produced by human striving, but by walking in step with the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, and if you want to turn over to Galatians 5, we're going to look at verse 22 really briefly here, which is the verse that encapsulates all the fruits of the Spirit. And Paul here writes, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." Now, as we've mentioned before, when we think of the fruit of the Spirit, we can often find ourselves thinking, I need to be more loving, or I need to be more patient, or I need to work on growing in all of these attributes in my life in order that I then might please God. But what Paul is saying here is that when we put our faith in Jesus and receive Him as our Lord and Savior, we then get the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's through the very Holy Spirit who causes these fruits to grow in our lives as we remain connected to the Father. These are qualities that reflect God's nature, His character, and show evidence of Him at work in our lives. It's not just about being good people and doing good things. It's about becoming more like Jesus from the inside out. In other words, it's not about working hard to model these qualities. It's about walking close to the Spirit of God. They are the fruit. They are the overflow of relationship and encounter with God. So as we look at faithfulness today, we remember that it is a reflection of God's own nature. He is eternally faithful in all things. And our faithfulness, it is enabled through His Spirit and flows from being connected to the heart of God. Jesus said in John 15, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Faithfulness, along with the other 9 fruit of the Spirit, isn't a work of the flesh. It's again a result of abiding in Him. So this morning, as we look at the fruit of faith, my hope is that we would become aware of this faith that is demonstrated and is offered to us through Jesus. A faith, as the Bible describes, that moves mountains and anchors our souls. In other words, a faith that is supernatural, one that comes straight from heaven. And then to see our role as believers as being carriers of God's presence and His faithfulness. That as we step into situations, atmospheres shift, and the power of faith in Jesus is made known to the world. So as we begin this morning, we're going to look at a few ways that we can grow in faithfulness as we partner with the Holy Spirit. So now one way is by staying rooted in God's word and becoming more familiar with His ways. If we look over to Romans 10, verse 17, we read, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." As we spend time in God's word, as we grow in relationship and understanding of who God is and his promises, our faithfulness is made known. We get to know more of him, and so it grows more in us. The more we immerse ourselves in scripture, the more that we see how God moves, how he speaks, and how he leads his people, we become more familiar with that voice. His voice, again, it becomes familiar, guiding us into truth and shaping our decisions. And as we come to know his ways, as we come to know more of his character, his promises, his faithfulness, we then, in turn, are transformed people. Our trust in him deepens, and our own faithfulness grows as a result of a natural response to his unwavering presence in our very lives. Now, another way we can grow in faithfulness is remembering God's faithfulness. When doubt or when fear creeps in, we can recall on how God has been faithful to us in the past. We share testimonies, just as we did this morning. We got to hear Nathan's testimony of God's faithfulness in this position, in this time, in this problem. And we get to recall on that and remember that God is the God who does it again. He's the God of breakthrough. He can do more. So we read scripture. We meditate on his promises. There are over 8,000 promises found in the pages of scripture. And the Bible tells us that the Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 to 22 says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us to the glory of God." Again, that amen being that I stand in agreement with the fact that you are faithful and that all of God's promises are yes. And we can hold on to these promises knowing the one who promised is faithful. Luke 1 verse 37 says, "No word spoken by God will ever fail. It always completes the assignment that it was set out to do." 2 Timothy 2 verse 13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Now this reveals to us a profound truth about God's nature. God is unchanging, perfectly faithful, and true to his character, meaning he cannot and he will not act in a way that contradicts who he is. He will always act in alignment to his word. He cannot lie. He cannot go back on covenant. He cannot be unfaithful. His very nature is truth and righteousness, and he will always be who he said he will be and who he's declared himself as. As we meditate on God's truth in his word, and as we meditate on the promises that he has given us, our faith increases. And as we remember who God is, and as we recall what he's done and thank him, we move past our limitations, we move past our fears, and into his presence. When we fix our gaze on God's presence, on who he is, on his goodness, and then how he controls and holds all things, our faith also in the impossible increases. Now, thirdly, we can walk in obedience and remain faithful in small things. Every step of obedience strengthens our faith. When we say yes to God in the small things, our capacity to trust him in the greater things increases. Luke 16, verse 10 tells us, "Whoever can be trusted with little can also be trusted with much." So church, I want to encourage us. We can start by being faithful in the small things, in the everyday opportunities that God gives us. We can show up. We can keep our word. We can pray for someone. We can love the unlovable. And another way that we can grow in faithfulness is by standing firm in the battle, refusing to be swayed by the circumstances or shaken by the enemy's lies. Faithfulness is not passive. It's an act of war against every deception that tries to undermine the goodness of God. When life feels overwhelming, we don't shrink back. We hold on to his promises with unshakable confidence. When fear comes in and says and tries to whisper to us, "God has abandoned you," or doubt tries to convince us, "He won't come through for you," we rise up in faith and we declare the truth that the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. That's the truth, church. God will never leave us. Now, the enemy wants to try and convince people that God won't come through, that he's distant, that he's silent. But every time we choose to stand firm, believing and pressing in, it shatters those lies. And even in our darkest days, we can choose to worship. Not because our situation is easy, but because God is still worthy. Our praise is a declaration. It's a declaration that the enemy has no hold on us. We serve a Savior who came to set us free, who breaks every chain, who silences fear and fills us with his supernatural peace. This is the very substance of faith, choosing to trust God's truth over our circumstances and refusing to allow the enemy to dictate our response. Faithfulness is our weapon. It's how we fight when the battle around us wages. It's how we stand when everything around us seems to be falling apart. Instead of being overwhelmed by what we see, we anchor ourselves, we root ourselves in the eternal reality of God's kingdom. As one pastor put it, and I love this phrase of what he said here, faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It denies it a place of influence. So again, he says, faith doesn't deny a problem's existence. It denies it a place of influence. So faithfulness, it's choosing to trust in God's truth over and over again, over the enemy's lies. It's in living in the victory or out of the victory of Christ, knowing that no matter what we face, his faithfulness will never fail us. Lastly, to grow in faithfulness, we recognize that it all comes back to the Holy Spirit. It starts with God and it ends with God. It's all empowered through the Holy Spirit. True faithfulness is not something that we achieve on our own. As we've said, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, a gift that flows out of relationship with the Father. It means leaning into the Holy Spirit's presence, allowing him to be the one to strengthen our hearts and keep us steadfast. It's all about aligning our will to his. And as we do, his faithfulness then becomes our own. Now, faithfulness is not just about this particular life. It carries eternal weight. It has divine reward. Revelation 2:10, if you want to turn there or mark that down, Revelation 2:10, it reminds us, be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Meaning that every act of faith, trust, every moment of perseverance, and every step of obedience is seen by God and will be rewarded in eternity. When we stand before him one day, maybe you hear those powerful words stated in the book of Matthew, well done, good and faithful servant. God, he is not measuring us the way that the world does or by the world's standards of achievement or influence or success or numbers. What moves his heart, though, is faithfulness, staying the course, trusting him even when no one else is watching, saying yes in the midst of mystery and in the midst of uncertainty. Every unseen act of obedience, every moment of trust, every step taken in faith, these are things that heaven celebrates. And faithfulness, it's not in vain. It's preparing us for a future glory. At the end of the day, it won't be how big of something we build. It won't matter how impressive we looked or how successful we became. It will be about how steadfastly we walked with God, how fully we surrendered, and how faithfully we carried out that which he placed in our hands. Our faithfulness, it carries with it the possibility of impacting the kingdom beyond just ourselves. God uses the faithfulness of his people to expand the kingdom, to draw the lost to himself, and to reveal his glory here on earth. Last week, Joel asked us to take some time to think about faithful people in our own life and to consider the impact that their faithfulness has had on each of us. And I would encourage you, church, if you didn't have a chance to do this last week or if you weren't here this last week, I'd encourage you to take some time to reflect on that this week. Think about it for a bit. How has the faithfulness of this individual shaped you? Think through some of the places that they showed up time and time again, where they said yes, even though it might have cost them. Think through some of the sacrifices that they may have embraced. And as we look to their example, and perhaps even the example of people in the Bible, people in Scripture who showed up time and time again, who said yes to God, think about and ask God, where are there areas in your own life where God is calling you into a greater measure of faithfulness, to step into surrender more fully? Perhaps you've said, yes, God, have my life. You can have it all. But there's this little piece left. There's this little spot that you're like, no, I'm harboring onto this. I can't quite release this off to you. Ask God to reveal those areas, because we don't want anything to stand in the way of us being fully surrendered to God. And as we stand firm in what God has called us to do, as we remain faithful in the quiet places, as we keep saying yes, even when no one is watching, we're building a history with God. And that history becomes a testimony that ministers both to ourselves and to other people as well. People are looking for something real. They're looking for evidence that God is still moving, that he's still on the throne, that he's still speaking, that he is still faithful. And when they see someone living in radical trust, someone who refuses to bow to fear, someone who continues to declare the goodness of God when the world says otherwise, it reveals the reality of Jesus. And it declares to the world that Jesus deserves it all. So as we think about this impact of faithfulness, I want to read out two stories of modern-day faith-filled heroes, one of which being a missionary from Scotland, and another about a man from the former Soviet Union, who both remain faithful and committed to God despite immense suffering. And stories of people who demonstrated that through it all, God is still faithful. He is worth surrendering everything to. So this first story is one about a missionary from Scotland who served in Africa. And it says this: after a long time in Africa, he returned to his sending church in Scotland to report on the work and the ministry, and to call more laborers to go to Africa. He arrives at his church to speak. It's winter, it's cold, it's raining, not many people come out, and he's a little bit disappointed. Many of the people who did show up, though, they were elderly. You know, great that they're there, but not necessarily suitable for the mission field in Africa. But he still felt that he should give the same message. And so he shares, giving the message, describing the needs in Africa, explaining we need more laborers. And then ends the talk by asking, now who will go? He didn't know this at the time, but there was a little boy sitting next to the lady playing on the organ. And the little boy stood up in the midst of this congregation of older adults and shouted, I will go. The name of this little boy is David Livingstone. Some of you who may have heard stories of him and his missionary journeys. And he is then advised, David, if God has called you to Africa, then what we suggest is that you become a medical doctor and you can go to Africa as a medical missionary. So David grows up, he goes to medical school, he becomes a medical doctor. He then goes to Africa as a medical missionary. He labors and he labors and he labors. There is one tribe in a particular community that they're trying to reach, and it's really difficult. The chief sends him a message, and the chief says to him, we are going to come tonight, we are going to murder you and everyone part of your compound. Now, the reason that we know this is that David kept diaries, he kept lists, he kept details, and all of this is written down in one of his diaries. So that night, he writes down, Lord, we've labored so faithfully. Please, please, please protect us. Please help us. And understandably so, there's a little bit of fear in what he's written, concern that their ministry might be obliterated and that everyone might go on to die. But they didn't come and kill them. A couple years later, they eventually introduce the chief and that tribe to Jesus, and the entire community converts and follows Jesus, which is amazing. But this story now continues. David Livingstone said to the chief, you sent me a message, one that said you were going to come and kill me and kill everyone in the compound. He said, yes, the chief said, and we came. So why did you not kill us? He asks. The chief said, well, because when we came to the compound, there were 39 giants surrounding the compound. We counted each one of them. They were big warriors surrounding your place. This story stands out to David, and he holds it back in the back of his mind. A couple of years later, David Livingstone returns to his sending church in Scotland again, and he tells that story. At the end of the meeting, the secretary of the church comes up to David and says, Dr. Livingstone, do you remember the date that the chief was going to come and kill you? He says, of course I know the date. That's not a date you're going to forget. And he gives him the date. So the secretary of the church opens the church diary, and he shows him that date. There were 39 people at the church in Scotland praying for them. 39 people. And there were 39 warriors standing, surrounding the outside of that compound in Africa. This church, this is the example of faithfulness of God, of the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of his people on display. Now, the second story comes from the book called The Insanity of God, written by Nick Reipkin. And it's about a man named Dmitry, a humble believer from the former Soviet Union. Now, Dmitry, it says, was a simple man living in a small village far from the city. There were no churches nearby, and he had no formal theological training. But he did have a deep love for the Lord and a longing to teach his children the ways of God. So he began gathering his family together to read the Bible, pray, and worship in their home. Soon, neighbors heard about these gatherings and began joining in. What started as a small family devotion night turned into a house church, and before long, the authorities came to take notice. One night, officers burst into Dmitry's house, warning him to stop his gatherings. You're making trouble, they said. And if you don't stop now, there will be consequences. But Dmitry knew what God had called him to do. He continued to teach the word, and more people came. Eventually, he was arrested and taken to a brutal prison hundreds of miles away from his family's home. And for 17 years, Dmitry endured incredible, unspeakable hardship. He was beaten, he was mocked, and he was threatened daily. The prison was filled with hardened criminals, and he was the only believer that he knew of. But every morning as the sun rose, Dmitry would stand at attention in his tiny cell, lift up his hands towards heaven, and sing a song of praise to Jesus. The other prisoners during this time shouted at him, they cursed him, and they threw things at him, but Dmitry continued to sing. Whenever Dmitry found a scrap of paper, he would write down as many Bible verses as he could remember, sticking them to the damp walls in his cell as an offering to the Lord. And each time the guards discovered them, they would beat him severely, yet he never stopped. One day, after years of isolation and suffering, the guards dragged him from his cell, intending to execute him. But as they led him out of the prison corridors, something incredible happened. The entire prison, all 1,500 criminals, stood at attention in their cells and began to sing the very song that Dmitry had sung to them every morning for the last 17 years. Sung to them, but sang to Jesus. The guards stopped in shock. They had tried to break him, but his faithfulness persisted and it had spread. Overcome with fears, the guard asked, "Who are you?" And Dmitry simply responded, "I am a follower of God and I love him with my whole life." Shortly after, he was released and reunited with his family. But church, here is another powerful reminder that faithfulness looks like trusting in Jesus no matter the cost. It's our testimony to a watching world that Jesus is worthy of it all. It has the potential to bring glory to God even in the darkest places and release breakthrough, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of those around us too. So as we close today, church, let's remember that faithfulness is not something that we muster up on our own strength. It is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's a reflection of God's own unwavering faithfulness into our lives. He is the one who empowers us to stay the course, to trust him in the unseen, and to walk in obedience no matter the cost. The stories of David Livingstone and Dmitry and the stories of faithfulness that fill these pages of scripture remind us that faithfulness is not just in what we do. It's about who we are becoming as we were made rooted in Christ. It's a testimony to the world that our God is alive, that his promises are true, and that his presence sustains us even in the midst of dark times. So today I want to encourage you, stay close to God's word. Remember his faithfulness. Walk in obedience, even in the small things that God has called you into. Stand firm in the battle and lean on the Holy Spirit every single step of the way. In a world where everything is shifting, in a culture that is comfortable with unkept promises, broken vows, lies, cheating, the list goes on. Church, let us be found faithful. Faithful in the waiting, faithful in the battle, faithful in the everyday moments that nobody else sees. Because heaven sees, and God rewards those who diligently seek him. And more than that, remain faithful because God is worthy of it all. And so one day, when we stand before God on the throne, may we hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This is the cry of heaven. This is the celebration of eternity. Let's live boldly. Let's walk in step with the Spirit. And let's be people whose faithfulness testifies to the world that our God is faithful and that he is worthy of it all. So, church, I want to invite you to stand as we're going to pray to close off this morning. So, Father, we come to you in awe of who you are, in awe of your goodness, in awe of your faithfulness, that you are eternally faithful, everlasting in your love, that you're steadfast in every promise. God, we just declare that you have never failed. There has never been a broken promise spoken from you. You've never turned your back. You've never abandoned your word, and you, God, you hold all things together. So, Holy Spirit, draw us closer. Teach us to remain rooted in you. We don't just want to have moments of faithfulness, God. We want to have a life marked by faithfulness. Yeah, Father, we just ask that you'd strengthen us in our yes to the quiet and the unseen places, to stand firm when storms come, knowing that you are the one, God, you are the one who holds us steady. Father, we pray for a faith that moves mountains, a faith that releases heaven's reality into this earth, a faith that shifts atmospheres, Father. And Father, let our faith tell the story of the God who is faithful. We just say that you are worthy and deserve every single yes, God. We love you, King Jesus, and we just pray your blessing over this church, over those watching, Jesus, over those in the house today, God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your faithfulness, the testimony of your goodness. And we say we love you, King Jesus. Amen.